Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than taking yourself too seriously. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Pip. Joe is out this week. I believe comedian Brett Lowry is going to be joining us. But
yes.
He's efforting to get here. On the show, comics in the news, as Donald Trump thinks Saturday Night Live should be taken off the air.
What?
Amy Schumer walks 200 people because she made fun of Donald Trump during her show. India busts some IRS scammers. School of Fools, as a woman from Tennessee does not want Islam taught in school. Drunks in the news with a new ice cream that'll get you drunk.
Excellent.
Excellent. So, have you noticed since the Trump campaign began that he focuses a lot on the media?
Yes.
Like, they actually, for all the speeches that they all give, I guess they have a pen, for lack of a better word. I think that's what they call it.
Oh, you mean like an area where they're supposed to stand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where they put all the traveling media.
I like that you said pen. It makes it sound like they're animals.
Well.
Uh-huh.
So they've been following Donald Trump around because he's fascinating. And when reporters returned to the media section of his rally on Thursday in West Palm Beach, there was a swastika waiting for them.
How lovely.
Well, welcome back. You don't know what to get somebody. You get them flowers, you get them chocolates, a swastika.
I prefer burning crosses, but if they had a swastika, all right.
I get you.
Maybe there was a fire alarm kind of situation.
Fire alarm?
You know, like if there was smoke from the burning crosses.
I got you.
You know.
So Trump is he's just unloaded the New York Times and other news outlets for reporting on the allegations of his inappropriate sexual conduct. What the heck's this? Hold on.
Okay.
What's going on? Pardon.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm on the air.
Inappropriate sexual comments he's talking about, and then he starts digging in his back pocket for something.
Yeah,
it's like, look like there's something inappropriately sexual going on right here. Who knew? Okay. All right. So, I think that what we're talking about here is that Trump has been talking a lot about the media and saying that they're basically blaming a lot of the situations that are going on the fact that there is, and Melania has been coming out and parroting his words, saying that it's the leftist media and the left that are bringing up all kinds of old stories about him and that are making problems where there were none to be spoken of. Melania was recently saying on television, I don't remember who the interviewer was, that every Friday there's a new story that comes up. And she doesn't seem the slightest bit concerned that there are enough things to bring up that every Friday there is a story. But they've been saying is that a lot of what is going on is just the media, the left media, trying to influence the election and trying to really take all of taking the choice out of the hands of the voters and pushing them into a direction where they're going to be more lefty, which is kind of ridiculous because I'm saying that him saying that and his wife saying that the media are all leftists and are pushing their lefty agenda to try to influence the election is ridiculous because the media has always been and the news cycle has always been about what's going on in the election and what are the candidates saying. So this is just another outcropping of that. I think that the anti-Semitic themes are because of the old stories that people say, oh, well, you know, Jewish people regulate everything that's in entertainment and in the entertainment industry. So they're trying to say that, oh, well, then it's Jewish people who are the ones who are pushing this agenda of every Friday there's a new story of something outrageous he's done.
Well, Trump is not only claiming that it's the media. He's claiming that the banks are involved,
which
is always to go along with your anti-Semitic theme. The Jews are always controlling the banks.
Oh, those Shylocks, you know.
Yes.
It's like, this goes back to Shakespearean times.
He thinks it's part of this whole global conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So as you mentioned, that there's this whole anti-Semitic thing, which caters to the nationalistic fringe.
Right. Oh, yeah, because skinheads and all that neo-Nazis, they're all thinking that, yes, it has to be the Jews.
It's always the Jews.
It's always the Jews. Your people are bad.
So Trump has vilified the media as being dishonest and sick through the beginning of the presidential theme. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Republicans always go after the media, mm-hmm. but Trump has taken it to a new level.
Right. Oh, yeah. Just making it seem like they are trying to go for him specifically and saying that he is the one who is being downcast and they are portraying him as something worse than what he is. Only him.
Yeah. Brad Lowry just joined us. How are you, Brad?
Hey, what's happening? How's everything?
Good. We're just talking about a little Trump in the media.
Trump.
Oh, okay. You big fan?
Not at all.
Well, we're talking about how Trump has pretty much vilified the media, where people are at the point where they don't trust the media.
Right.
They don't like the media. They don't want the media.
Well, but you're saying people. Not all people.
Well, most people on all sides kind of distrust the media.
Oh, yeah, because you can, it all depends on what the source is. Because, you know, if you're of a certain ilk and you're only listen to Fox News, well, then other people are going, yeah, but what you're bringing up, it's Fox News saying it. So how can I trust that? And other people are saying, yeah, it's MSNBC. I'm not going to listen to them.
Well, you have to be able to sift out opinion and fact.
Sure.
Which we talk about all the time. Brad, do you think the press has been anti-Trump?
Anti-Trump?
Anti-Trump.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
No?
Wow.
I think the press loves Donald Trump because Donald Trump is very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump drives headlines. The more chaos Donald Trump creates, the less work reporters have to do.
Yeah.
Because Donald, you just wind up Donald, you know, you give him a topic and you let him go.
They don't even have to do that. They just have to open up their Twitter account and see what he say today.
Right.
You know, I think
they like him. Do you think they've been pro-Hillary?
Hmm. I think that's to you.
Both of you.
I think Trump is just entertainment.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he's entertainment, but people are loving him. And that's the sad part.
Yeah, that is really sad. I don't think that they've been particularly kind to Hillary either.
I don't think so. I think people think that they're pro-Hillary because every time bad news comes out on Hillary, and it's daily, every time it comes out, Donald Trump ups the game.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, nuh-uh, look over here. I got some bad mojo going on over here. Forget about the woman that's falling down. I got some stuff over here. Come here. Let me grab that for you.
Yeah, but I think that both of them are the worst candidates that we've ever had for the presidency.
Right.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
I mean,
but that's not the media's fault.
But it's back and forth like little kids, you know, trying to find out the worst, you know, email, this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just like, oh, stop already. I don't want neither one of you.
But we got to have one of them.
I said, let's make history again.
Let's make history again?
Yeah, let's put Obama back in.
Yeah.
For the record, Brad
is an African-American man, and he realizes he might not get another crack at this again.
But, not for a while.
Yeah, I have to say, he was like, I think we talked about it earlier today. He was like the coolest president,
I like
man.
Obama, but that's not Obama. The issue. I like Obama.
Yeah. He was the coolest president.
But there was nothing going on, nothing crazy going on while Obama was there.
Well, if you ask the Republicans... Well, if you ask the Republicans, they'll tell you something's going on. I think it's I think it's dangerous for a candidate for to be president to actively and try to tell his people to antagonize the media. Because Trump will point at the media and go, look at them, the scum of the earth, the worst, the liars. That's like a feature at a Trump rally. That's like if you go to a football game and the cheerleaders. It's like a feature of the event.
Yeah, and saying, you know, what if you're saying, go, you know what? You're hungry. Go feast on the cheerleaders. Ah, you know. I mean,
I wouldn't mind. I would love to eat a cheerleader.
But why would you want a president like that?
Why would I?
Why would you want a president like that?
Don't.
Well, because I think a lot of people find him, as you said, entertaining.
But here it is. I did a show a couple weeks ago, and all the people there were sitting around, all the employees sitting around.
Right.
And what they were doing was they were talking about all the things that Trump was doing and this and that. And I said, you know, and one person actually said, he's a businessman. Exactly. He doesn't care about you. Well, he only cares about himself.
They think he does.
They think he does. Because he says all the right things in his speeches. That I just saw a videotape of him saying, and we're going to do this good thing, and we're going to lower taxes, and we're going to do this program and that program. And it's like this patriotic music is amping up in the background. Meanwhile, it's like, and how does he think he's going to get all this shit done when nobody else can do that?
I don't think he can do it.
Stuff. I'm sorry.
I don't think he can do it. The thing is, I think he's just setting everything up to become president so that he can keep hiding his taxes.
Well, I mean, it's possible.
I'm just saying. He's got to find a new way to hide his money.
Here's my beef with Trump. Here's my beef. He says the media is against him. He rose through the primaries because he had all the access in the world to all the free media and press. He was all over. You couldn't turn on the TV without seeing an interview with Donald Trump.
Well, I understand that. But let me ask you a question. Would you want a president that doesn't care about your daughters, that doesn't care about how you look, or care about...
care how I look?
He doesn't
care
about
anyone. I don't
need
a president checking me out.
No, not you at all. But I'm just saying, he doesn't care about
anything. Sweet thing.
Well, you know what? People feel that he cares about them and Hillary doesn't. We'll do more when we come back. We'll do some comics in the news. Trump is going after Saturday Night Live and Amy Schumer's walking people. We'll make him fun of Trump. Don't go anywhere. We're back. You're listening to Davins. Then we'll do some more Trump stuff. I can't wait till this election's over.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes back to wherever he came from. And I don't have to talk about him anymore, but I don't think he's going to disappear because he's just always.
You don't think he's going to win?
No.
Of course he's going to win.
Well, maybe.
He's going to win.
No. Bite your tongue. Stick that out and bite it.
I'll be out of the country when it happens, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the Bahamas when it all goes down, so it's all good.
I'm hoping that I'll be in Germany at the time.
That's a good place to be.
I'm going to live with our fan Lisa in Canada.
There you go.
I'm done.
All right.
So no one's going to be here when he becomes president.
No, show's over.
Everyone's leaving.
Joe's just going to do a solo show. Joe loves Trump. All right, let's do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
So Saturday Night Live is known, during these political elections for doing their parodies of politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They did, Dana Carvey did George Bush Sr., which was good. Daryl Hammond did great Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Tina Fey did a great Sarah Palin. Alec Baldwin is now doing Donald Trump. It's kind of a rite of passage.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They've always done that.
So they did a mock of the second debate that they just had, and Alec Baldwin's playing the part of Trump. And at 7:14 a.m. on Sunday morning, Donald tweeted, "Watch Saturday Night Live, hit job on me, time to retire the boring and unfunny show. Alec Baldwin portrayal stinks, media rigging election."
And that's who you want for president.
He's
going at everybody.
Here's the thing, though. Trump hosted the show last season.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, it wasn't terrible then.
Well, not when Donald's on. Right. I actually remember watching it in great anticipation because I thought he was going to be really good on it. He wasn't.
Yeah.
No, he was. Justin Timberlake's the only one who's really good on there.
He's really good. Steve Martin was always great on that.
Yeah, but he's not going on anymore.
No, he's not. But, I mean, like, there have been people that go on there, and it's a great show.
Right. But... So Trump got his name by being an entertainer on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
That's really how he got his fame, which was also on NBC.
I have all the best lines.
Yes. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. Yeah, we get it. Yeah. Somebody's fired.
Okay.
So the sketch mocked Hillary Clinton for calculating nature.
Right.
And Trump saying that, you should pay attention to Bill Clinton accusers,
mm-hmm.
but don't pay attention to his sexual assault accusers.
Right.
You know, pretty much like, shut up. I have an issue that potentially our next president of the United States is trying to shut down comedians and satire.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he's trying to attack freedom of speech, because he's spoken before about anybody that attacks him, anybody that says something
against him. We need to open up the libel laws.
Yes.
The First Amendment.
Saying that he was going to go after people like the New York Times, anybody that posts anything about him, says anything wrong about him, that he's going to go after them and sue them. But he wants to be able to... I mean, if he was the president, he wants to be able to have the ability to do that. Pretty much attacking the First Amendment.
It's
so he's going to do this after he becomes president?
Well, that's what he wants.
Well, no, he said He said he wants it canceled. I mean, opening up the libel laws, he said he wants to do, but it's not constitutional. But you see an authoritarian streak in him.
Yeah, oh,
I mean,
sure.
If we start taking humor out, we're North Korea.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, that Kim Jong-un, not known for a sense of humor.
You don't say.
You know, you as a comic, you never want to get the gig where you're supposed to roast Kim Jong-un.
Right, right.
And you can't refuse roasting Kim Jong-un.
Wait a second. What's the name of the crazy basketball player that went out to visit him?
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I mean, they're showing a sense of humor right there. He had Dennis Rodman over.
Rodman was also on. He went over there, and he was also on Trump's Apprentice.
He went over to Korea.
He went to North Korea. Yeah, yeah.
Hung out.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my problem is that I don't watch a lot of television. You know, my life is simple. I don't have all this stressful crap in my life. You know, I just hear about it the next day.
Yeah, but you don't. But as a comic, you don't want them stifling your freedom of speech.
No, I don't. But see,
nobody should want that.
No, but see, here it is. Everyone is getting revved up. You know, and I hate to put it like this, but we're almost like cattle. It's like cattle that you just put in a corner. You know? And everyone thinks the president is supposed to do this, the president is supposed to do that. No, the president does nothing.
Right.
The president is just a representative. That's what he is. He can't do anything without Congress.
Well, but...
You know, so... And Congress... I'm not going to
Well, if he's got a Republican Congress... if he has a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate... They might go along with him.
Yeah, he certainly is influential, and there are certain things that he can do. But like you said, the Congress, most of the laws and things that have to be done, Congress has to approve.
Yeah.
So I thank goodness for that stopgate, if indeed he actually does make it. But the thing is that the idea that he wants to not allow people to speak their mind, I'm sorry, but that's our first tenet of our Constitution.
Right, but I think the Congress is going to be afraid of him. In other words, he's going to threaten them if they don't agree.
I don't know.
Maybe. I think that's what's going to happen.
He's going to tweet about him. He's already tweeting about Paul Ryan.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, and now if he has power like that, what's going to happen?
I think it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's scary. So, Amy Schumer, we all know who Amy Schumer is.
Sure.
Canadian. She was performing in Florida. 10,000 people, like a normal night for you and I, Brad.
Right.
10,000 of our biggest fans.
Hey, I'm just coming off my... my loaf tour right now.
Your loaf tour?
Yeah, Sugar Loaf.
Sugar Loaf tour?
I just saw that on the drive over
Drive
here.
Slow. You'll get a ticket. Drive slow.
Oh, yeah, you
they
will.
They like to stop fancy people.
So how was the show? Was it
Amy's show?
Yeah, how was it?
Well, Amy does this thing where she goes, what did she say about him? She said he was Aaron's sexual assaulting fake college starting monster. That's how she described him. So there really wasn't a lot of punchlines in there.
Yeah.
It was just kind of her take. And then she had a Trump supporter come on stage in front of 10,000 people and explain why they liked.
Why he was a supporter?
Yeah. So I guess roughly 200 people started booing and walked out or were escorted out. Depends on the story.
They were booing her or the guy that was explaining?
They were booing her.
Okay.
They were booing
her. For bringing him up.
Just
stage.
For the anti-Trump rhetoric, mm-hmm. for bringing him up. Here's the thing. As comics, we can do political stuff. You don't do a lot of it in your act.
No, I don't do political stuff at all.
I do political stuff. You can do it, but you got to have punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't have punchlines, you're just giving a speech.
Right.
And people didn't pay for a speech.
Right,
they didn't appreciate that.
Now,
no.
Especially at a show, they don't want to hear your speech.
Right.
They don't want to hear a speech at all.
Right.
It's just like, you know what? Give me the funny.
Yeah.
Don't try to tell me who I am. Don't try to run me. But that's exactly what Trump's going to do.
Without the funny. Without
right.
the funny.
Without the funny.
Trump won't have any punchlines either.
And people don't understand that. Now, I'm just sitting back going, okay, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for all you Trumpers. Yeah, Trump, Trump, Trump. And I'm going to be like, told you.
I think we're at the point, though, where an audience does kind of, at least in this environment, they expect to hear some politics.
Of course. It's on everybody's mind right now. It's just so close to the election.
Right. If you're doing anything that's topical or relevant,
right,
they expect to hear it.
Of course. But they expect it to be in a joking manner or to, you know, bring up something to make you think, not just like pound anti either candidate. They don't want to be lectured to at a comedy show.
But I think that you're taking a chance of doing that also. I mean, my show on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, maybe I should do some material about, you know, the election or whatever. Blah, blah. I'm just like, you know what? I'm for neither one. I'd rather vote for Captain Crunch. You know, but that's all I'm saying. But the thing I don't judge anyone for their, you know, I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, hey, that's you.
As long as you buy a CD. Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you.
as long as you buy some merch.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. You know, so, but I don't want to alienate the people in the audience or upset them because I'm talking about Trump. If you got,
I don't
care
about upsetting them because I make fun of both. I make fun of Donald and I make fun of Hillary. But I have found the Trump supporter to be a delicate flower. Some of them. for the people that loves the guy who tells it like it is, and the straight talk, they don't really like when you goof on their guy.
That's what I do like about him, though. I do like about him. He's honest.
Well, I don't know if it's honest.
I mean, no, I wouldn't say honest.
It's Tourette's.
He's direct.
It's Tourette's.
It's his point of view, all right.
But he just comes out and says,
which is fine.
I don't want him as president, but, you know, I want to hear the real.
I wish his audience members would respect that when you try to, quote, tell it like it is, instead of running for the hills. Now, listen, I get Amy Schumer was heavy-handed with it. I get that why that would offend you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, she's doing an hour. You can't sit through that, suck it up, buttercup. Right. And, you know, I mean, I get why you don't want to be barraged by it and attack. And I don't think it was cool to bring somebody up on stage.
No,
I think that's a little much.
Yeah. And I mean, you're bringing somebody up in the audience to be like criticized and ridiculed, perhaps. That's not really cool.
Either that or either her jokes didn't go over that well. And she said, well, let me put it on someone else.
That could be a little shift of blame.
Yeah.
But I mean, right? She's going to be fine. But when somebody walks out during our show, we never hear the end of it.
Oh, no.
We can't afford that. All right, when we come back.
I don't have anybody walk out on my show.
No. You're a magnet of a brilliance.
Oh, yeah. They're always there.
Yeah. Right. India busts some IRS scammers. Don't go anywhere. We are back. Finally, some good news from the world of scamming.
Yay.
What enthusiasm.
Well, yes.
Yay.
Always like when the good guys prevail.
Well, then you don't like this show.
Okay, who was scamming?
Well, there was an Indian, in India, there was a ring of scammers pretending to be the IRS. Have you ever gotten that call?
No.
Oh, I've gotten that call. I actually recorded that call when I called them back and played it on the air here.
Really?
They were not happy to hear from me. they did not want to chat, as it would turn out. But, yeah, I mean, this is a pretty common thing. And I guess they were working at 9 call centers, and they were impersonating IRS agents, and they were calling the U.S., and they broke them up in India. The victims were told they owed bank taxes and would risk arrest if they hung up. So they're like, you don't hang up. Because that's part of the whole scamming
thing. Yeah.
You got to do it immediately.
Right.
You can't, like, they don't want you to sit back, think about things, clear your head, call a lawyer.
You will be arrested if you hang up?
Yes.
But they're targeting senior citizens.
You know, I'm sorry. They would have been like, hello?
Hello? Yeah, but you know better. You know better. You would have called me on 3-Wingo. What's going on with that?
I mean, come on. No.
Because he doesn't give a damn. That's why.
No. I do that
taxes?
In my act.
I ain't paid taxes in years.
I do that in my act.
Okay, Mr. Trump.
That's my act. I'm sorry. But, you know, like, what, you know, with these creditors calling you, you know, and I called them. The guy said, can you ask someone for the money? I'm like, well, what's your name? You know what I'm saying?
Your name's Kevin? Kevin, can I have a couple bucks?
They would not be pleased.
No.
But
no.
If I heard some Indian voice or whatever, Arab voice on the other line.
Well, here's the thing. They taught them how to fake an American accent.
Isn't that sneaky?
Whatever that is.
Really?
So you could hear somebody talking like you.
Well, I'd be like, what's my social security number?
Well, that's they don't like that. That's the phone number. But they were making $150,000 a day.
People were actually paying them?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why. The police need to bring them up. They're making $150,000 a day before they were discovered.
Most people are afraid of the IRS. They really are. The government comes, says we're going to put you in jail if you don't pay up. They'll do it.
So they actually think that they had some people working in the U.S. to help them out, too. Probably doing some money laundering.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Send it to the U.S., and then it gets sent back to India. So it's a person in the U.S. They think, oh, well, here's an address in the U.S. I'll send it here. This seems legit. That person in the U.S. gets a little taste and then forwards it over to India.
See why I don't listen to the news?
You should listen to the
news.
It's
all bad.
No, it's terrible. We should have news where there's just good news. Just good news all day. Guess what happened today?
That's called sitting down with one of your aunties. That's not the news.
You'll never guess what's going to happen.
Wow.
But they caught him. They got him. It's a good thing.
So did everybody get their money back?
Nobody gets their money back.
No, but at least they can't do it more.
School of Fools when we come back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We got Brad Lowry in studio with us, hanging with Pip and I tonight. Joe is out. So let's do some School of Fools. I don't know if this really falls in the category because it's not really... Maybe it's absurd. I don't know. You think it's absurd?
I think it's completely absurd.
You think it's completely absurd?
Yes.
I don't know if everybody's going to think it's absurd. We'll see. We'll play the little theme music, and then we'll dig in.
We'll duke it out.
Around the rosy bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
So a Tennessee mother has launched a crusade against textbooks used in her local school district after she found out her daughter was learning about...
What?
What? Islam!
No!
That's the reaction.
I know.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, I would want to learn about it.
Yeah, well, she don't want...
This way to get to know them. Listen,
we're a Christian nation. It goes against my Christian values.
Yeah?
We are not a Christian nation.
So her daughter was learning about it as part of the 7th grade school social studies curriculum. Michelle Edmiston claims her daughter, quote, personal religious beliefs were violated.
Oh, please.
Wait. They can do that in school, but you can't pray?
Well, that's actually actively being religious.
That's an actual religious practice.
Yeah, this is education about culture. Actively praying is partaking in your religion. You can pray. It's just not an organized thing.
You can study theology, but they're not taking you out and baptizing you in the pool.
Right, there's a difference.
But I would want to know about who's going to blow me up.
Okay.
Look no further. What do you want to know about me?
Okay, is he going to order coffee? I don't know.
Well, now, okay, let me just take this absurdity another step further.
Well, I mean, do you want to hear more about the story?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Let's get the story, and then you guys can rip this woman apart or stick up for her, whatever you animals want to do.
Okay.
So so she believes her daughter's personal beliefs were violated. She said that a lessons about Islam, she said her daughter opted out of these classes and was given zeros for refusing to do the work. According to the State Board of Education's website, those standards include educating students about Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and Hinduism in the 6th grade. Islam comes in the 7th grade, including Islam's historical connections to Judaism and Christianity. The National Council for Social Studies, which is a professional organization that helps support social studies teachers programs, call the study of religions essential part of the curriculum. You got to do it. And they argue that knowledge about religion is not only a characteristic of an educated person, but is necessary for effective and engaged citizenship. Like you said, you want to know about the folks. Religious literacy dispels stereotypes, promotes cross-cultural understanding, and encourages respect for the rights of religious liberty. So I think she's wrong. I think the teacher's wrong. I agree with this. I agree with the curriculum.
Oh, yeah, the teacher's wrong?
Not the teacher, the parent.
Right.
The parent's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because the only way we're all going to get along, you know, in a not as crude way as Brad said about who's going to blow you up.
Thanks, Brad.
I'm sorry, but hey, boom!
Brad Lowry's opinions do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Davin.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying that they all do it, but, you know.
But you want to know about them.
Exactly.
You got it. So instead of just making blanket, I hate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And thinking, oh, they're all camel jockeys, this, that, the other thing. Learn about the culture.
It's one third of the world practices Islam. They're Muslims, and they follow the tenets of Islam. You don't want to know what one third of the planet is thinking?
Not if they're wrong.
Yeah, okay. what a ridiculous posture that is. It's not saying follow the religion.
No,
it's know what it is.
No, it follows the 11th commandment, ignorance is bliss. Oh, I forgot about that tablet.
No, no.
That was the sequel. Nobody ever talks about the sequel to the Ten Commandments.
No, that one was stapled on the back of 10, so sometimes it gets overlooked.
Glued. It was like on a napkin, a little Chinese food on the back of the Ten.
It gets overlooked, that one.
But I'm not saying that they're our enemy or anything like that, but what I'm saying is, you know how they say love thy neighbor?
Yes.
You know, in other words, to love thy neighbor, you need to know by. You need to know about thy neighbor.
I find I love my neighbor a lot more about him if I don't know anything about him.
Yeah. Well, it helps in your neighborhood.
Yeah, my neighborhood, the less I know, the better. But as far as being an educated part of society, but we're really talking about two different ways to look at the world. We're all talking about we want to be citizens of the world.
Yes.
This woman's looking at it as like, I'm a citizen of the United States. This is a Christian country, and we don't need to know about it. They need to adapt to us. That's what I'm guessing her mindset is.
It is not a Christian country. Just because just because mostly Christians live in it doesn't make it a Christian country.
Exactly.
That makes me
crazy. Yeah, but when Jesus crossed the Potomac.
Okay, wait.
Now let me tell you this. When I was growing up, I went to high school, you know, we had to talk to the counselors and everything, and they wanted you to learn certain things, you know, mm-hmm. they would suggest, you know, learn a foreign language, you know, do this, whatever, blah, 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 learn German, you know, learn Spanish, whatever. That was the way it was when I was growing up, mm-hmm. and here it is. After I got out of high school, where was I? Darmstadt, Germany. Didn't take German.
Oh. Wow.
You understand, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, and Trump says if Hillary elects president, ISIS is going to take over. So really, the student should double down and just in case learn a little Islam because they're going to take over.
And Arabic.
Yes, because I'm guessing these are Trump supporters.
Hey, I want to know the language. I want to know when they're around me.
Here's the interesting thing, though.
That sounded actually kind of real.
No, it sounded nothing like it.
A little.
And offensive. That's what it sounded like to me.
There was a moment.
It's not offensive. But
offensive.
When I hear something like that, I want to know, hey.
Aren't you guys curious though? Like they learn every other religion in the sixth grade and then the seventh grade and Islam.
Screeching brakes.
It's like why do they gotta wait an extra year? Yeah. It's the third biggest religion.
I know, but it's
second.
Building on it. Because, well, first came the Jews,
Islam?
Then came the Christians, then came Islam. Literally.
Right, but I think Hindu was before. No, it's just kind of weird that it's kind of standing out there on its own.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, you have to divide it up somehow. I mean, I think that it's probably confusing at that age to go into each part. I mean, if you're going to do it chronologically, okay, that's one approach. But they were sectioning it off into different types of religions.
No,
so
I think it looks just silly if you got Aladdin over here by himself. let's all learn together. But I think what we're doing is we're fueling the next generation to be uneducated buffoons.
Absolutely. And they're to not already, know how to deal with other
cultures.
Well,
I said the next generation, not our generation.
They're already.
Knowledge is power, my friends.
No.
All right. When we come back, speaking of knowledge is power, we're going to get you drunk on ice cream. Don't go anywhere. Right, let's do some drunks in the news, combining a couple things I really enjoy. Let me just find that, pull that up. Here we go.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
It's almost like Joe's still with us.
You made that sound like he was dead.
I didn't make it. So first we'll start with our Benjamin Franklin drinking term. I don't know if you know this, Brad, but Benjamin Franklin came up with over 200 ways to describe being drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
He was a big drinker.
He wasn't just flying kites in the lightning storms. this Benjamin Franklin was a doer. So this week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term is, if you were drunk, he's disguised.
He disguised as a drunk man.
He's disguised as blitzed. So next time you're out with your pals and somebody's had a little bit too much, go, dude, you look disguised.
Disguised.
But I understand that. That means the real comes out.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the yes.
That's what it means.
You believe booze is truth serum?
I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I believe it's
not. Not for everyone, but quite a few.
Just the ones that say something you've been wanting to hear.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I said that because I was drunk. Really? No, you told me the truth while you were drunk.
I've never said that. When I'm drunk, I sleep.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It's the inhibitions go down and things are coming in your mouth that I've worked hard to keep back in.
No.
No, no.
No, no. No. When I drink, it's night time. The room will be spinning. I'm not feeling it. I don't want to chat.
So let's put a sweater over Davin so we can continue partying.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I know.
A little sweater so I can ball myself up.
All balled up in
a little on the couch.
In the couch.
Just party on.
Put them over to the side. We don't have to worry about it.
Don't shave my eyebrows.
He's okay.
Right. Carry on.
He's used to a lot of things going on. He's like a baby that you talk around him and you don't like be quiet for them so he can like sleep through the hurricane. Yeah.
Sleep through a lot.
Right, the wife is like, he's right there. Don't worry about him.
No,
he's not here.
Let's do the show without him.
His eyes are open, but he's really asleep.
Yeah.
So there's this new company called Tipsy Scoop.
I love them.
It's boozy ice cream that features booze as part of the recipe.
Yes.
They say one serving is roughly equivalent to a light beer.
Well, so you have serving, though?
Like probably a scoop.
Oh, who sits and eats one scoop? You're going to go for ice cream. You're going for ice cream.
Sit down there, Frau Helix.
Sorry.
Who had a bad night and is eating her problems away.
Absolutely. Ben and Jerry and bourbon. Yes.
I think she's right.
Yeah.
I think she's right is because my girlfriend spent over $30 in ice cream last week.
What did you do?
Yes, that's the right response.
No. I mean, we went to the store and she just kept pulling ice cream off the shelf.
How big is your freezer?
What's wrong?
Do you have like corpses in there?
No.
There's one bag of frozen broccoli and it's Ben and Jerry.
So you guys like boozy ice cream?
Yes. That sounds fantastic.
But I'm worried kind of what you said. Like you're eating your sorrows away. And you don't realize how messed up you are.
You forget them.
No, but you have to remember some desserts have booze in it, like you know, in the apples.
Yeah,
you know, on top of the ice cream.
But you don't eat like a whole. You don't eat like a whole quart of that.
You can order as much as you want.
Yeah, I could see a woman.
Yeah.
I could see a woman sitting down there in her stupid pink fuzzy slippers and her undoable bathrobe because her man stood her up, just putting on the Golden Girls and inhaling a quart of this,
dude. Sweatpants, some T-shirt with a saying on it. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And
Cheap Trick. I thought that's what the boys called you.
Give me Ben and Jerry's. Where's that chubby hubby? I'm going to scarf that old bike down.
Chubby hubby's
scarf
with your sister. That's where your chubby hubby is.
That bastard! Give me some Jerry
Garcia.
They're
not eating ice cream. They're doing cardio, sweetie.
No, so it's sort of like having Cherry Garcia in one hand and a bottle of vodka in the other. I'm down.
It cuts out the middleman.
If you just got broken up with, you got stood up, he is doing your friend. You need
Points
this.
Points to you, by the way.
What?
So how much would you pay for a pint?
How much? I don't know. How much is it?
I don't know, but I'm asking you how much you would pay.
I don't care
I
how much
the price.
Shut up and take my money. That's what I would pay.
Really?
Yes. This is perfect. This is perfection.
You're look at you combining all your hobbies, drinking and eating.
No.
You get that sweet taste.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get
that little burn,
that sweet taste. You know, it's a little bit of both. You know, it's just
we're
like,
still describing eating ice cream, right?
Yeah.
You start talking about that little sweet taste, a little burn.
I don't know. Your eyes rolled back in your head. I thought we were going somewhere else. You know?
Well, we should come up with some flavors for this.
Oh, I have one.
All right, what's a flavor?
Hops-a-daisy.
Hops-a-daisy?
What's an hops-a-daisy?
Organic daisy petals mixed in with beer ice cream. Something for the ladies.
Beer ice cream? No.
Yeah.
No.
Light beer ice cream.
No, beer doesn't taste good enough for that.
All right. Well, what do you have?
I got Ruppelmann's chocolate chip.
Ruppelmann's chocolate chip.
That way you
that's
can eat
rum and chocolate chip.
No, it's Ruppelmann's, man. It's like a liquor that's like mint, so you can drink and drive.
And your breath is clean.
Yes, exactly. So now we're just adding eating to it, so you can eat, drink, and drive. It's the perfect.
So you're weaving in the street. The cops pull you over. Go. Have you been drinking? Have you been drinking? No. Oh, you're fine.
No, I've been eating.
I've been eating.
Look at these codes.
I have one, pussy punch. It's for cat ladies. It's fruit flavored, mixed with pomegranate vodka ice cream with a little chocolate cat shaped. candies inside.
Oh, you put a lot of thought into that.
I did.
You are a girl that spends time alone.
That would be awesome.
I got a drunky monkey.
That's okay. Great.
Drunky, you guys should have texted me or something, so I could have came up with something. You
Yeah, we should have.
Banana liqueur ice cream with fudge chunks and walnuts. Drunky
nice.
Monkey.
Oh, that sounds good.
Drunky
that's,
monkey.
Oh, that sounds nice. Really good.
I've won. I don't know if this sounds really good, but I think that there's a market for it. Slap Happy Pappy.
I think he just retired. You're talking about David Ortiz?
It's a 5-gallon bucket of Ballantine ale-flavored ice cream with little whiskey chips.
Whiskey chips?
Yeah.
What's a whiskey chip?
Whiskey-flavored chips. You know how, like, you have chocolate chips?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whiskey-flavored
okay.
chips.
Beer and whiskey?
That's why he's Slap Happy Pappy.
You're crazy. You are crazy.
He's going to slap your pappy.
I'll slap my pappy. I'll slap my big pappy.
You'll be slapping your pappy by the time you're done with that.
Heavenly Smashed.
What's ooh?
It's
like
a takeoff of Heavenly Hash, but it's Heavenly Smashed.
And what's in Heavenly Smashed?
You got vanilla, marshmallow swirl, and a delicious chocolate flavor topped off with real chopped almonds and rich chocolatey chips with Godiva liqueur.
Oh, he's got you beat.
Oh, man.
I'm not messing around. You keep your whiskey chips.
I don't drink, but I'll try that.
I just heard that and I needed a cigarette. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's what I do. Now I got a towel off the seat. All right. Bradley. Where will you be performing?
Where will I be?
Next week. Where will you be?
Well, you should know that because I'm working for you.
That's this week. You got anything going on?
No. All next right. week? Well, yeah, I got something going on.
We don't got time.
Too late.
Tell them where I'm going to be.
That's this week. I'll get to that later. All right. Thursday, October 27th, I will be in Garfield, New Jersey at the Royal Manor performing in a fundraiser for the Bergenfield Police Department. We've had Detective Dave Daugherty on here.
Yes.
From Bergenfield Police. So we're doing a fundraiser for them. For tickets, still some tickets available, call 973-261-3175. Going to be a great show. 973-261-3175, October 27th. Friday, October 28th, Size Splitting Productions presents live comedy in Woodland Park, New Jersey at Francesco's. For tickets, call 973-925-1100. Thank you for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.